Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
We've got a really exciting season that we're moving into as a church, and I know most of us can't see beyond Christmas, but I'm looking already beyond Christmas to where we're heading in January, February, and March, and I can tell you it's exciting, and I want to talk to you a little bit about our kind of broad plan for Christmas this morning as part of this message. But we're going to throw up a Bible verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 6, right in the heart of the nativity story. We're going to read this together. I want to tell you this morning, the title of my message is, God has a plan. God has a plan. Here we go. Here's Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came. I want you to say, the time came. The time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. The time came for the baby to be born. Jesus had arrived. The plan of God was in action. And I need to tell you today that this was not day one of God's plan to rescue humanity. This was not day one of God's plan, okay? This was always the plan. The plan had been in existence for a long time. This was the day, the time came, where the plan became visible. Okay? So scholars tell us, their best guess is that it's around about 4,000 years between the time in the Garden of Eden where God cursed the snake after the fall of Adam and Eve, and this day. Around about 4,000 years. Now, if you take 4,000 years and you multiply that by 365 days, the number you come up with, let me check my notes, is 1,460,000 days. So this is not day one of God's plan. This is actually day 1,460,000th day of God's plan. Does that make sense? The plan didn't begin here. The plan began at the very moment in the garden that Adam and Eve fell. We're going to look at some of those verses at the moment, but you need to see the plan was already in motion the moment Adam and Eve rejected God and fell into sin. Okay? So we're going to find it in the book of Genesis in chapter 3. Now I need somebody to help me because there are a number of verses attached to windowsills around the room. And if you are sat near to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14 to 15, I want you to grab it off the wall and run up here to me, please. What? Oh, thank you, Nicola. Wonderful. Thank you. Hold it for me. Show everybody there. Okay, so hold that up like that. Brilliant. Thank you for enthusiasm. I love it. Okay, so 4,000 years before this day, approximately 1,460,000 days-ish between before Jesus was born, before the time came. In Genesis 3, verse 14 to 15, it says,
"Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'I will cause a war between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel.'"
Boom. Okay. In Genesis 3, when God curses the snake, he says to the snake, one day, there's a day coming where the offspring of Adam and Eve will come against you, and you will strike his heel, but he will strike your head. In other words, God was given a prophetic word about something that would come in the future to undo the damage that had just been done. And that the plan of the snake, the plan of the devil, the plan to bring humanity down would be overturned. And while he may get a shot in, he would be destroyed. The plan was in motion. The plan to save us from our sin, the plan to redeem us, the plan to heal us, the plan to undo the work of the enemy was already begun in Genesis 3, 4,000 years before Jesus. Thank you, Nicola. Round of applause. Well done. God begins to drop prophecies. These are little windows into future events throughout the Old Testament. You know, there are over 300 prophecies relating to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament before he ever existed. The plan was already in motion. Here's another one. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Are you sat anywhere near that? Grab it, Tara. Come on out. Thank you very much. Okay, so what does this one say? Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. This is approximately 2,000 years before Jesus is born. So we're now further on. The plan is there. God's got a plan. He's letting us know he's got a plan, okay? And to Abraham, he said,
all the families on earth will be blessed through you.
All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Again, this is a prophecy. This is God saying, I've got a plan. I've got a plan. And there's a day coming where all the families on earth, not just those that live in Israel, but all of the nations, all of the tribes, Germans, British, Italians, even Americans, will be... even city players, will be blessed through you. Now he's speaking to Abraham. He's saying one of your descendants, through your family, someone is coming, a Messiah is coming, a Savior is coming, and through you, through your family, through your descendant, all the families of earth will be blessed. Why? Because God had a plan. The day Jesus arrived was not day one of the plan. It was always God's plan to redeem us. And God gave us these little windows into the future. And the people knew that no matter how difficult life was at that time, God had a plan. They may have seen their failures mounting up, but it was okay because God had a plan. They may have lived under tyrants and evil kings and queens, but it was okay because they knew someone's coming. God's got a plan. Okay, thank you, Tara. Take that back. Round of applause. Thank you. So we know that someone's coming that's going to undo the work of the enemy. We know someone's coming, and they're going to come through Abraham's descendants. We know, and we don't just know that he would be one of Abraham's descendants. We even know the tribe that he would be part of within the people of Israel. So if you are sat near Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, grab it and bring it for me. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Barbara, thank you very much. Coming up. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, it says... oh, and this is 1,800 years before Jesus.
The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all the nations will honor.
Wow. So this verse says that the scepter, which is the staff of authority and rulership, okay? So King Charles has a scepter. The scepter will not pass from the tribe of Judah. So of the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Abraham, we know that from the tribe of Judah will come the one for whom that scepter belongs to. And then it says, to the one whom all nations will honor. So we know from that verse that the person coming isn't just somebody that Israel will honor. This isn't just a prophet or somebody that will be locally in that part of the world quite liked. This is somebody all nations will honor, even Americans. Okay? So, thank you, Barbara. Round of applause. So again, the people know there's a plan. There's a plan. Someone's coming. There's a plan. Okay, if you're sat near Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, Jackson, it's just there. Go and grab that one on there. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we find out even more about God's plan. Come on, Jackson. Well done. Come and join me on the stage. Hold that up so everyone can see it. So Isaiah lived around about 700 years before Jesus was born. And this is what Isaiah wrote about the one that was to come.
The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, there's a virgin will have a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him
Emmanuel,
which means God is with us.
Wow. Well done, Jackson. That was brilliant reading, wasn't it? Fantastic. The Lord will take a seat. Well done. So Isaiah lets us know some more information about the plan of God. We know he's coming. We know he's one of Abraham's descendants. We know he's coming through the tribe of Judah. But now we know he will be born of a virgin and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Okay. The plan of God. Again, the people who are living at the time, they're going through difficult times, but they know it's okay. God's got a plan. World's a bit chaotic right now, but it's okay. Someone's coming. God's got a plan. Okay, if you're sat next to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we even know the location that he would be born in. Who's in Micah? He's near that one. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Sue, come on out. Micah is also written around about 700 years before the time came, before Jesus came. And in Micah, it says,
"But you, Bethlehem, are only a small village among the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf."
Wow. So now we know where. We know he's through Abraham. We know he's going to be of the tribe of Judah. And then Micah says, and Bethlehem. Bethlehem, you're only a small village of the people of where? Judah. Remember the tribe? Judah. And yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past. Whose origins are in the distant past. Only a few of us in the room can say it was in the distant past. But Jesus was born, or Jesus existed from the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, will come from you on my behalf. So we know that Jesus, we know that the Messiah is coming, and we know that Bethlehem will be significant. Who's near Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6? I think there's one more. Ah, there we go. John and Becca and Nell. Can you come on? Come on up. Brilliant. Well done. So again, approximately 700 years before. And it says,
"For a child is born to us, a son is given, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Now this is significant, because this tells us that the one coming is more than a human being, more than a great political leader, more than just a really good leader, more than a politician. This person coming is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Powerful. Thank you, John. Going to take a seat. Brilliant job. I've just given you six of, I told you, 300 references in the Old Testament before Jesus even arrived, giving us details about where, who, and how his life would unfold. It's quite a miraculous picture that God gives us that tells us that the day the time came for Jesus to be born was not day one. It was always the plan. And that can encourage us today. Because we also live like those people lived in faith. looking to the future. And it helps us to know God's got a plan. If you ever feel like those people felt, oh, my failures are building up, it's okay. God's got a plan. And one day the plan will come to fruition. It might not be today and it might not be tomorrow. In fact, God's not slow about his promise, but it might take a few days. But the day's coming and he's got a plan for all my failure. And there'll be a day when I stand before him with my naughty list. Yeah? Actually, it probably needs to be more like. And he's got a plan for it. He's got a fire ready to throw it in. You may think sometimes, where is God in my world, in my life? Where's God in this situation? Where's God in the chaos that's happening in the world today? Where's God in this sickness? Or where's God in this difficult season? And I want to remind you from this story today, he's got a plan. You can trust him. His plan is good. And it may take a while. We may have to be patient in our waiting. But he's got a plan. You are not alone. The things that are happening to you have happened to others. But he's got a plan. He's coming through on it. And there'll be a day when you'll look back and go, oh, thank God you had a plan. I wonder what you're going through. I wonder what you've got in your rucksack at the moment that you're carrying around with you that's heavy and that you need to go back to God with and say, ah, you've got a plan, God. I trust you. I trust you with this because you've got a plan. Because he has. This day did not come as a surprise to God, the day that Jesus was born. He'd been working on it. And he's working on your future. He's preparing a place for you. He's guiding you. He's getting you into the right place at the right time. He's doing something incredible through us as a church too. I want to tell you, there's just really, really quickly, God is working out a plan. How can we stay in tune with God's plan? Well, I reckon number one, be patient. That day was a long time coming, but be patient. Number two, during that 1,460,000 days, God was positioning things and getting people in the right places. He was priming the nation, getting them ready for the day where Jesus would arrive. So you can be priming yourself, preparing yourself, stay in the Word, stay in relationship with him, stay in his presence, stay in the church, and prime yourself so that when the day comes for God's plan for you, you're primed and ready. Be patient, be primed. And thirdly, God had to teach his people a thing or two during those 1,460,000 years. So be pliable. Allow God to teach you. Allow God to shape you and mold you and form you. If you want to know the God's plan for you, you're probably not going to know it. But what you can know is this: I can be patient, I can be primed, and I can be pliable. And if you're those things, when the plan of God comes, when it's made obvious, when God reveals it, when it goes from hidden to known, you're ready. Be patient, be primed, be pliable. You know, some people, on that day that Jesus was born, some people missed it. They were oblivious that there was a plan. And they completely and entirely missed it. They just carried on with their world, carried on with their day. And the fact that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born just down the road in Bethlehem, they were oblivious to it. Don't live oblivious to God's plan. If you live oblivious to the fact that God's got a plan, you'll live in fear and anxiety. But if you understand God's got a plan, you'll live in peace. Don't be oblivious. Some people knew that there was a plan of God and they tried to stop it, didn't they? They were opposed to the plan of God. Herod knew, didn't he? Do you remember? And he said to the wise men, tell me where this baby is so that I may visit him. But really, he was opposed. He'd heard the prophecies. He knew one was coming. He knew he was coming through Abraham. He knew he was coming from the tribe of Judah. He knew he'd be born in Bethlehem. He knew the details enough to know that when the time came, he could try and stop it. Don't be opposed to the plan of God, and don't be oblivious to the plan of God. Instead, be on the lookout for the plan of God. See, others rejoiced in it. So there were some that missed it, some who knew it and tried to stop it, and there were others who rejoiced in it. And the shepherds and the wise men and those that knew it, they rejoiced in the fact that the plan of God was becoming known. Rejoice. Be on the lookout for God's plan. Live on the lookout for his plan to unfold in your life. Don't be oblivious. Don't oppose it. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Be patient, be primed, be pliable, and you'll be ready when the day comes and God says, go. You know, we have a plan at One Church Bristol. Christmas, we didn't just think about Christmas yesterday. Thought, well, what should we do this year? We've had a plan. As we've prayed together as a team, as we've reflected on what God has already done this year and thought about what we need to do in the next few months, we sat down and we put together a strategy, a plan for us as a location to get involved in what God is already doing in our community. And so I want you to hear this. This is not just some nice events that we have booked in. These are not just some nice things that we thought, oh, that would be lovely to do. These are actually part of a plan because we believe God is going to reveal himself to people who have never known him or seen him before this Christmas from in this place that you're sat in right now. In this room, I believe people are going to walk in here and their eyes are going to be opened to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They're going to see him for who he really is in this place this Christmas. That's what we're believing for. It's going to happen through Christmas. It's going to happen in January, but people are going to come to the Lord this Christmas. And I'm prophesying it today. I'm saying it in faith today. And everything that we're doing is creating a space for that to happen. And why? Because in January, we're going to be doing something called the Alpha Course. Okay, you may have never heard of the Alpha Course before. I need to let you know about it, okay? You'll see these red leaflets on your table here. You're invited to Alpha. Alpha is we're going to do a 7-week course on Tuesday nights, starting on January the 16th, over a different dessert every week. And that'd be nice. And the idea behind Alpha is it's an introduction to the Christian faith for people that are interested, seeking, or asking questions. Maybe they've been thinking about it, they're not sure, they wouldn't call themselves Christians yet. They may say, oh, well, I would like to know a little bit more, I've got questions. Alpha is perfect for people who are just thinking about whether or not Christianity might be true. And what Alpha does is it walks them on a journey through evidence, science, scripture, and reason, and it helps to build a picture of why we believe Christianity is the way, the truth, and the life. It is really easy to watch, really accessible, and really, really contemporary. It's a brilliant course. And what we're going to do is create space for 7 weeks here at church to invite people in to be able to go on that little journey and explore the Christian faith. It's going to be absolutely flipping brilliant. And that's what we're targeting, January the 16th. Now, everything we're going to do over the Christmas program is pointed at that. Every guest that comes to the carol services, every guest that comes to the fair, every guest that comes to anything we're going to do over December is going to get an invite to that. We're building towards this. We've got a plan, okay? And the plan is Alpha in January. But leading up to that, we've got our wonderful Jolly Holly Fair. At our Jolly Holly Fair, we invite the community in to be able to access really quality goods, to be able to give us gifts for Christmas, because we understand that in this area, on this estate particularly, people may struggle to be able to afford to buy expensive presents for their family and friends at Christmas, but they can come here, and at this fair, they can pick up quality stuff for less than a fiver. It's a great, great event, and you are so welcome to come to it, but also to be part of the team that help us make that happen. And why are we doing it? Because we want to create a space where people get to have a conversation with us about why we do what we do, and then maybe get an invite to our carol services and to Alpha. It's a fantastic occasion to meet needs, to bless the community, to bring people into the room that have never been here before, and to show off the generosity and the kindness of God. That's happening on December the 9th. The very following Sunday on the 17th, we're running two carol services, not just one, but two carol services in the morning and the evening. Why? Because at those carol services, we believe we're not just going to have a fun time, but we're going to create a space for people to encounter Jesus Christ. And everybody that comes will have an opportunity to say a prayer and respond to the gift of Jesus and sign up for Alpha. And then after that weekend, on the 24th of December, which is Christmas Eve, we're going to gather together for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. So welcome to invite friends, family, for just 1 hour in here around candles. And we're believing the presence of God is going to be there for Christmas. And who knows, somebody might take away an invite and sign up for Alpha. On the 2nd of January, which is a Tuesday evening, we're going to gather here to pray. To pray, to worship, and to lift to God everybody that came to all of those Christmas events, and to prepare for, in prayer, for Alpha. And we're going to pray that the people that heard the word of God will respond. Maybe you've got family and friends that you can invite too. We're going to pray for them. Because on January the 16th, Alpha begins. So I hope I've just helped you to see that these aren't just nice Christmas ideas and events. They're part of a plan. And every one of us that gets involved, whether you're on team at any of those events, you are helping us to create the space for people to encounter Jesus and get to a place where they can find him for themselves. Is that cool? Yeah. So that's the plan. We've got a plan. It might not be a perfect plan, but it's a plan. And we're going to believe God. He's going to work through us as a church this Christmas to do something really powerful. So God's got a plan. He's got a plan for you. Be patient, be primed, and be ready. And he's got a plan for us. And we're priming ourselves this Christmas to be ready for what God wants to do through our location. Liam, do you want to come and join me on the stage? Fantastic. We could go through December oblivious, but I'm hoping that your eyes are open to the potential that we have as a location. We exist, don't we, to bring people, to make disciples, bring people to Jesus. And that's exactly what we're going to do through this program that we've got coming up. I've even thought ahead to February the 4th, we're going to have a baptism service. We've already got 5 people. We might be able to make that 10 after Christmas. Who knows? That's exciting. I've already thought about March. We've got a new people's course booked in for everybody that's new to One Church Bristol. We're going to help them and become part of the family. I've already thought about April. I'm going on holiday. Right. Let's stand, shall we?